Let's head over to the KRDO Newsline now. A former attorney representing former President Donald Trump could be testifying before a Washington, D.C. grand jury as early as today. We have legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum joining us on the KRDO Newsline to break this down. And Thane, how did we get to this point as far as this continued testimony involving the Mar-a-Lago documents?
Well, remember, everything was sort of put not at pause, but just away from the public eye when a special prosecutor was assigned to handle two cases, one dealing with the Mar-a-Lago case and the other dealing with the January 6th case. So he went about what prosecutors do, putting his case together to see what he had and then to make a decision on whether or not to indict the former president or indict any of the people around him in connection with those two potential crimes. And so, you know, he's been going off and doing his work. So this issue, it's been developing. And that's actually one of the reasons why the case out of New York was so significant, because of all the cases, including the one out of Georgia, none of them had reached the point yet where anyone was ready to indict and arrest the president, except until this past week with the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. So the significance of this case is that you have the president's lawyer, who the federal judge has just ruled, has to turn over his evidence, notes, and also give testimony, because even though, again, attorneys normally would not divulge client secrets, sensitive information, pursuant to the attorney-client privilege. But in this instance, there's something called the crime fraud exception, which says clients are protected from their attorneys divulging information under the attorney-client privilege unless the attorney is involved in his own separate crime, in other words, in furthering the crime or creating a new crime. And the question here was, how did these documents end up in Mar-a-Lago? And after the FBI and the National Archives told the president they wanted all of it back, it was this attorney who said, oh, you got it. We've given it to you. You have all of it. And so the question is, did he know that there were still documents left behind? Was he the one that was responsible for leaving them behind? Did the president even know that there were, because the president thought that the docu said, we've already given you back everything that you need. So that's why he's been required to give testimony, and that's why this is significant, because the president up until now has, in all of these cases, stood behind the attorney-client privilege and executive privilege, and this is one time when a federal judge stepped in and said, you can't.
And this is something that judges don't like, but it's something that it seems like our former president has done over and over and over again, where there has been communication where you could look at an innocent interpretation of it, so hard to pin down on what actual intent or motive might have been there, correct?
Absolutely right. You know, there's so many interesting things about Donald Trump, but one of the things is that, you know, he didn't use email. And, you know, when you're functioning as the president of the United States, for instance, in the January 6th case is a really good example, right? You know, for all the talk about the incitement to rioting, he had no direct contact. And that's the problem that they're facing. That's what this prosecuting attorney is still looking at, right? Was there a causal connection between the president and the rioters themselves, right? Always having, you know, you remember Godfather 2? This is exactly what happens when, I forgot the name of the mafia guy, says, yeah, there's a lot of buffers, right? And in the room, the Senate room starts laughing, meaning that there's a buffers between the Don Corleone and his henchmen, right? This is really what you have with Donald Trump. There's a lot of buffers. And so there's communications that he's had, he may not have had. He's been able to protect some of it for executive privilege and attorney-client privilege. And a lot of people, he's saying, look, I never even talked to that guy. I don't even know how that happened. That even happened. That's exactly what you're seeing here out of New York. The president saying, I don't deal with Stormy Daniels. I don't have any connection with the campaign finance laws. And so, yes, that's another example here.
Yeah, and in that Stormy Daniels case, I know there was all the discussion and, of course, a lot of it, probably that smoke screen set up by the former president saying that there would be that indictment this week and even saying that he would be arrested. Now, that grand jury is set to reconvene next week. And is, in your opinion, is an arrest of Donald Trump even probable in this case?
Well, I think Donald Trump is the only political figure at his level that's praying for an arrest, right? He's saying, please book me, you know, fingerprint me. You know, he was the one that originally said he was going to be arrested on Tuesday. Today is Friday. They took a pause. There's apparently one further witness that's supposed to testify before the give testimony before the special grand before the grand jury. That is supposed to apparently happen today. It's clear that something happened this week, starting on Wednesday, that gave the district attorney reason to take a pause, to take another look. It's possible that the grand jurors themselves are now having cold feet. It's not a great case. You know, it's not a great case. On the other hand, it seemed as if the district attorney and the grand jury is determined to arrest and indict the president. But I'll tell you, there's prosecutors around the country. This is very strange. Prosecutors historically do not like to bring cases unless they can win. You know, they have to feel very strongly they're going to win. They get nothing out of it if it blows up in their face. This is the first time I've ever seen where prosecutor was almost in defiance saying, I almost don't mind losing. I just want to be the first guy, the first person that actually indicted and fingerprinted this president. Mm. And that's what's really so fascinating about this case. I'm sure other people have said, hey, you know, you're only helping him because this is galvanizing his base. Or, hey, you know what? This would be terrible if you didn't bring home a conviction. And this is a very strange case, as if he's saying, I don't care if it's a good or bad case. I want to be the one who hauls this president before a judge.
Yeah, interesting. Unfortunately, we are, I would say, up against the clock, but I think we might have just smashed through it. We could
clock.
Go on for a while.
I had so much I wanted
this,
to talk to you about.
Dane, we definitely appreciate your time this morning.
Any time for you both. Thank you.